I'm sure all of you have heard this. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. How many of you have not heard this song before? Please raise your hand. Okay. So this is a very, very popular song amongst devotees who like to worship Krishna in the mood of Vrindavan. The different pastime places of Krishna and the various important personalities who are associated with Krishna's pastimes have been mentioned in this song. So we'll chant this first and then we'll speak something about it. Jaya Radhe, Jaya Krishna, Jaya
Thank you.
श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की
जय,
श्री वृंदावन धाम की
जय।
All glories to Radha and Krishna and the divine forest of Vrindavan. All glories to the three presiding deities of Vrindavan, Sri Govinda, Gopinath and Madan Mohan. So that is the first. Now I think we'll go. Yeah, we'll discuss it like this. So Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. Sri Govinda Gopinath Madana Mohan. So in this song we see glorification of Krishna's pastime places and his personal associates in the holy dham of Sri Vrindavan. Jai Radhe, Jai Krishna, Jai Vrindavan. So without Radha and Krishna there is no question of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the place where Radha and Krishna forever reside. Radha and Krishna actually reside eternally in the spiritual world, in the planet called Golok Vrindavan, which is a major part of a planet called Krishna Lok. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes that Krishna Lok has divisions. There is Vrindavan, there is Mathura and there is Dwarka. So Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka are actually in the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual world. And the very same Vrindavan, the same Mathura and Dwarka also appear within this material world by the arrangement, the transcendental arrangement of the Supreme Lord. When he wishes to descend in this world, he brings his abodes with him. So the Vrindavan, Mathura, Dwarka that we see here in the material world are actually not the material world at all. They are directly the spiritual world. There is no difference between the Sri Vrindavan Dham that we see here in India, apparently in India, and the Vrindavan Dham that exists in the spiritual world. Even though we may not be able to understand it by externally, superficially looking at it, but every particle of this abode is identical to that Vrindavan Dham in the spiritual world. So next time we think about Vrindavan, here in the material world, we should understand it is the same. There is no difference. One time Krishna demonstrated this to the Brajavasis who were living with him in Vrindavan. He actually brought them to a place called Akur Ghat, which is the border of Vrindavan and Mathura. And he showed them the entire spiritual world, all the Vaikuntha planets where the Vishnu or Narayan forms of the Lord reside. And then the chief amongst these spiritual planets is Krishna Lok. And there is Golok Vrindavan. And there are the Brajavasis, there is Krishna, Radharani, and the Brajavasis here who are actually seeing that. And then they realize that actually there is no difference between this Vrindavan and that Vrindavan. However, for sake of convenience, we address this Vrindavan Dham as Bhauma Vrindavan. That Vrindavan which is manifested on the Bhumi or on earth. So therefore, it is called Bhauma Vrindavan. Whereas the Vrindavan that is in the spiritual world is called Paravyoma Vrindavan. Vyoma means sky, Para means spiritual, supreme sky. So Radha and Krishna eternally are there in that Vrindavan. And when they decide to come here on the earth in the material world, they carry that same Vrindavan with them. Srila Prabhupada says this Vrindavan is the facsimile representation of that town. In other words, it's identical. It is an offense actually to think that this Vrindavan dham is material and that Vrindavan dham is spiritual. Both dhams are completely identical. And this Vrindavan dham, the bhoga Vrindavan dham, of course there are certain things that appear because it has appeared within the material world. So the three main temples of Vrindavan are said to be the temples of Sri Govinda, Gopinath and Madan Mohan. These are the main deities. And there's pictures you can see of some of them. There's Govinda Dev, there's Madan Mohan. And Gopinath is also a deity there. These three deities were established by Sri Govinda by Rupa Goswami, Gopinath by Madhu Pandit Das, Madhu Pandit Goswami, and Madan Mohan by Sanatan Goswami. So I'll just tell you a brief history of these temples. Madan Mohan temple, which you see on the left hand side, small at the bottom, that was the first temple in Vrindavan. You see, after Krishna departed from this world 5,000 years ago and returned to his abode in the spiritual world, for many, many years there was no sign of Krishna's pastimes. Over the centuries, the pastime places were lost, in the sense that nobody knew where these pastimes took place. And then it became only forest. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there, 4,500 years after Krishna's appearance, which means about 500 years ago, he was responsible for actually identifying many of the pastime places. He also instructed his dear devotees, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, to reside there and identify the pastime places of Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. He also instructed them to build temples in Vrindavan, establish deities there and show to the whole world how the deities could be worshipped. So Madan Mohan was the first temple. Before that there were no temples. When the six Goswamis reached Vrindavan and there were some other Goswamis who came then before them, like Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarbha Goswami and so on. They were Babajis. Babajis means that they were renounced transcendentalists who were absorbed in devotional service in the mood of Vraj. They would live very, very simply, eating just a few bare necessities, a little bit in a day. And rest of the time they were engaged in chanting Hare Krishna and doing kirtan and serving the Lord in so many ways. So Sanatana Goswami also, the eldest of the six Goswamis, he was the older brother of Rupa Goswami. He obtained this Madan Mohan deity. Originally this deity was called Madan Gopal. And this deity was found by Advaita Acharya when he went to Vrindavan. It was one of the deities that originally was made by Vajranag, the great grandson of Krishna. Somehow Advaita Acharya located this deity, and before he left Vrindavan, he handed it over to his disciple Purushottam Chaube in Mathura. Some say Gokul as well, but mostly Mathura area. And then later, Sanatana Goswami obtained this deity. How he obtained this deity is very interesting. One time he was in Gokul area, and he saw some young boys, local boys, cowherd boys, who were playing. These very little boys, maybe 6-7 years old, or maybe a little more. And they were playing, and then eventually it was evening, and they all departed. Now one boy amongst them was especially attractive. And Sanatana Goswami could not understand why he was becoming so attracted to this little boy. And he kept staring and staring at this little boy, See, this boy is really extraordinary. Who is this boy? Why am I getting so attracted to him? As he was sitting there, he found himself not able to concentrate on his chanting because of this little boy. Then all the boys departed for their homes after the play was over. So he decided to follow this boy, one boy. So he followed him at a safe distance. This boy went, and in those days there was a small temple. It was a temple of Madan Gopal in Mathura. Actually, it is not quite clear where this temple was. Historians and scholars are not able to identify where this temple of Madan Gopal used to be. But anyway, he went to this temple from Gokul. And then he saw something very astonishing. This boy went into the temple and didn't come out. And when Sanatan Goswami went inside the temple, he saw there was nobody. There was only Krishna on the altar. So what did Sanatana Goswami conclude?
It was Krishna himself.
Yes, that little boy was Krishna himself. He used to come every day to play with the cowherd boys. And Sanatana Goswami was dumbstruck with wonder. He simply offered his obeisances and without saying a word walked away from there. He was too stunned in his ecstasy, he did not want to say a word to anybody, didn't tell anyone anything. So this deity was in the care of Purushottam Chobe. And one time when Sanatana Goswami came to his house, he saw that this children of Purushottam Chobe were playing with this little boy, with Madan Gopal, as if he were their friend and he was also playing with them. And sometimes, even without following all the rules and regulations, Purushottam Chobe's wife used to feed Madan Gopal like she used to feed her son. And you know that when you are worshipping the deity, then you have to follow so many rules and regulations. You should have taken bath, you should do this, so many things are there. But for Madan Gopal, this lady was just, he was also reciprocating, he was also jumping off the altar, playing with them. So, when Sanatana Goswami saw this, he said, he told Purushottam Chobe, this is not right. You are not supposed to treat the deity like this. You should have some little respect for the deity. So then Purushottam Chobe and his wife felt very bad, yes, yes, because they all respected Sanatana Goswami very much. When Sanatana Goswami went home and he rested, then the same Madan Gopal appeared to him in the dream. And he also appeared to Purushottam Chobe in his dream. To Purushottam Chobe, he told him, now you have served me for a long time. I wish to now accept the service of Sanatana Goswami. So please hand me over to him. And then to Sanatana Goswami, he appeared and said, why did you go and disturb Purushottam Chobe and his wife? You were worshipping me so nicely. And now you have told them worshipping with all these rules and regulations and everything is spoiled. But anyway, I have told him to hand me over to you. And henceforth you should do my service. So Sanatana Goswami woke up. By the time Purushottam Chobe arrived with Madan Gopal, the Lord has instructed, he wants to be served by you. So Sanatana Goswami was hesitant, but he had also been instructed by the Lord. So he accepted the deity. But he had no temple or no place to keep him. He didn't have a house, he didn't have a hut to stay. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan would stay under different trees each night. Not under the same tree two nights. So he didn't have a house. So then he made a little cloth bag, like we have our bead bag. And he would place the deity of Madan Gopal within that. And he would carry him around on the neck. And then when he was sleeping at night, he would hang the bag on a branch and then he would sleep below. And he renamed the deity as Madan Mohan. So the deity of Madan Gopal became Madan Mohan. And Madan Mohan would have very nice pastimes with Sanatana Goswami. But because Sanatana was a Babaji, he didn't have any opulent foodstuffs to offer. There was no question of Rajbhog and so many things. whatever he was, he got as a mendicant by doing madhukari, little bit of roti, little something. Even that he wouldn't take. Sometimes he would just make a little chickpea flour, or he would make a little roti. And one time Madan Mohan told him, look, I'm not asking you that you should provide all kinds of things, but at least put some salt in the chapati. At least that much you can do for me. So Sanatana Goswami told him, look, I am a poor mendicant. Where am I going to get salt and sugar and this and that? Today you're asking for salt. Tomorrow you'll ask for some nice sweets, and you'll ask for this, sandesh and burfi, and where am I going to give all this? So you please be satisfied about whatever I offer. Of course, we can't imitate these things. We have to follow strict rules and regulations. He didn't even have a temple, but without, anyway, sometimes Madan Mohan would complain, but then he used to keep quiet, fearing Sanatana Goswami's scolding. This is Vrindavan. Nowhere in the world will you have anybody doing such things. Eh? So then one day, it happened, there was a businessman called Ramdas Kapoor, who was traveling from north, from Punjab, all the way down to Agra. And his boat was stuck in the Yamuna. So he became very perturbed because there was a lot of merchandise in that boat. So he got off the boat and he was very anxious about saving his goods because a lot of money involved. Somebody told him, well, there's a sadhu called Sanatana Goswami, you take his blessings. By his blessings, maybe your goods will become free and you'll save a lot of money. So he came to Sanatana Goswami and said, Sanatana Goswami said, look, I'm a Babaji, what can I do? But you approach Madan Mohan. See, he's here. You pray to him and he will help you. So Ramdas Kapoor prayed to Madan Mohan very fervently, and somehow there was a gust of wind and something happened and the boat got released, and Ramdas Kapoor was overjoyed. So he sat in the boat and went on to Agra. He sold the goods for a bumper profit and he had a lot of money now. So he remembered with gratitude the help that Sanatana and Madan Mohan had given. So he came and gave all this money to Sanatana Goswami. Please take it. Sanatana Goswami, what am I going to do with all this money? Sanatana Goswami used to be a very rich man. He was the Prime Minister of the Nawab of Bengal. And he had, by today's standards, he would be what we call a millionaire. So he had seen enough money, he had given it all up to serve in Vrindavan. So he said, I am a renunciant monk, what will I do with all this money? But when Ramdas Kapoor insisted, he said, alright, then you build a temple for Madan Mohan. So that's how Ramdas Kapoor used that money and a temple was built. So that was a temple that was built for Madan Mohan. Then of course the Muslims came during Aurangzeb's time, they attacked and the deity was transferred to Jaipur, or outskirts of Jaipur, in a place called Karoli, where the deity is still there, original deity. The Pratibhu Murti is in, Pratibhu Murti means a replica deity. That is in Vrindavan. Nearby you will also find Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir and his Samadhi below this temple. How many of you have been to Vrindavan? Raise your hand. Okay, how many of you have been to Madan Mohan temple? Okay, very nice. Those who have not been, you may go next time. And in the extreme right, you see Radha Govindadev temple. It used to be a seven-story temple. Very ornate and magnificent structure. Unparalleled. No temple existed like that. Very beautiful. That was built by Raja Man Singh, one of the Rajput generals. He was king of Ambar. So he had contributed and built such a huge, grand temple. It took about a thousand people more than 5 years to build that temple. Thousands of workers and artisans had gathered there. It was an exquisite specimen of architectural beauty and perfection. as time passed by, it so happened that one time, many years later, when Aurangzeb, the Mughal emperor, was in Agra, and he went out on his balcony in his palace, and in the distance he saw a lamp. And he said, "Where is that lamp coming from? It seems to be higher than my place, where I am staying now." So he became very angry. "Which is that place which is higher than my place?" And his assistants told him, "That is a temple, Damodara Govinda temple in Vrindavan." So Aurangzeb was a despot, what we call an iconoclast. Means he hated deity worship and such things. He sent his soldiers to destroy the temple. So the soldiers went there and they started from the top and started breaking down the temple. And then the devotees started praying, "Oh Lord, now what can we do?" Meanwhile, the deities they had taken, rather Govinda's deities they had taken to Jaipur, fled with the deities when they saw the soldiers coming. This used to often happen in Vrindavan. Until today, the deity of Govinda Dev is in the king's palace in Jaipur. It's part of the palace. And the entire Jaipur city practically goes every morning to take darshan of Govinda Dev. So anyway, these soldiers were breaking down this structure. And when they broke down many things and came down to the second floor, at that time, the whole structure started shaking so violently, the soldiers got afraid and ran away from there, went back to Agra. But the damage had been done. And because the temple had been defiled by them, the devotees never brought back the deity here. And they built another temple nearby. So the original temple they could not worship in now. So that was a rather Govinda Dev temple. This deity was discovered by Rupa Goswami. And this the temple construction is also credited to him. It's because of him that Man Singh came forward to construct this temple. It is said that Rupa Goswami was one time feeling a little depressed because he was unable to fulfill the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had told the six Goswamis, among other things, that you must build temples for Krishna in Vrindavan, establish deities and deity worship. So when he had been unable to do that, he was feeling sad. Then one day, a little beautiful cowherd boy came to him. He said, "Baba, what are you doing? Why are you feeling so sad?" So he explained, "Hare Lala, just see, this is the reason my guru ordered me to do these things, but I'm not able to find the deities and establish a temple." He said, "No, don't worry. You do one thing, you go to this place called Gomatila. It's a little hillock. There you will find a cow who will come. And where the cow gives milk, you will find your desire fulfilled there." So early next morning, Rupa Goswami went there. And he saw this beautiful cow, a Surabhi cow, as if she had just descended from the spiritual world. And she went on top of this hillock and she voluntarily started releasing milk on top of the hillock. So then Rupa Goswami understood that something is special here. So after the cow left, he got a few people together and they carefully dug, and there, lo and behold, was a beautiful deity, Govinda Dev. This is also one of the original deities installed by Vajranav, the great grandson of Krishna. It is said Vajranav established almost 16 deities of Krishna, which are still there. So very happily Rupa Goswami brought him and then installed him in this temple. Installed him at one place and worship started, and then Man Singh came and he constructed this temple. So Govinda Dev, this is Gopinath. Of course time is going by, I can't describe in detail. The Gopinath temple came later. That was established by Madhu Pandit Goswami. But there is another reason why these three deities are singled out amongst all the deities of Vrindavan. They are said to be the three presiding deities, the three most important deities of Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that the entire Vedic knowledge can be understood in three steps, in three phases. The first phase is called Sambandha. The second is called Abhidheya. And the third is called Prayojan. Sambandha means when one understands one's relationship with Krishna. One understands who one is, who is God, what is my relationship with Sambandha, relationship. The second is Abhidheya. On the platform or the basis of this relationship of Sambandha that is established with Krishna, we perform certain activities. We serve Krishna. That is called Abhidheya. And as a result of serving Krishna sincerely and purely, we get the fruit, which is called Prayojan. So Prayojan means the result of doing this Abhidheya. And that is love of God, Krishna Prem. Now, the Madan Mohan deity represents Sambandha Jnana. The Govinda Dev deity represents Abhidheya. The Gopinath deity represents Prayojan. So Sanatana Goswami, who worshipped Madan Mohan, is called the Sambandha Guru. Rupa Goswami, who worshipped Govinda Dev, is called Abhidheya Guru. And Raghunath Das Goswami actually is called the Prayojanacharya. So this is why these three deities have been singled out here, have been specifically mentioned as the three main presiding deities. This is also mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the beginning by Kaviraj Goswami. Srila Prabhupada writes a very nice purport to that. So next. All glories to Shyama Kund, Radha Kund, Govardhan Hill and the Yamuna River Kalinki. All glories to the great forest known as Mahavan, where Krishna and Balaram displayed all of their childhood pastimes. So all of us have heard, of course, of Govardhan Hill, the mighty mountain which Krishna lifted effortlessly like a little boy plucks a flower or breaks a mushroom. So Krishna lifted this very effortlessly and held it aloft for 7 days and 7 nights. So Govardhan is considered very, very worshipable for all devotees of Krishna. Govardhan has a double identity. He is considered an incarnation of Krishna, and Krishna proved this fact when all the Brajavasis gathered to offer foodstuffs to Govardhan, and Govardhan actually assumed a gigantic form and accepted all those offerings. So Govardhan displayed his godhood at that time. But simultaneously, he has another identity. And that identity is as a devotee or a servant of Krishna. In fact, he is addressed as Haridasa Varya, the best among the servants of Hari, the best among the Haridasas. So he is both directly an incarnation and also a devotee. So from time immemorial, devotees of Krishna, they circumambulate Govardhan ever since Krishna established the standard. It is Krishna who started the practice of Govardhan Parikrama. Before that, nobody used to do Parikrama of Govardhan. Govardhan was there. The cows would graze, but nobody considered that anything special. It is only after Krishna personally explained the importance of Govardhan and started the Parikrama that the devotees have started doing this. Now it's 5,000 years. Govardhan, it is said, is shaped like a peacock. If you look at the shape, nowadays of course it's different. It keeps sinking because of some curse, which we won't talk about today. And Radha Kund and Shyam Kund are considered the two eyes of Govardhan. Now these are two lakes. You can see Radha Kund and Shyam Kund in the top picture. On one side you have Radha Kund, on the other side you have Shyam Kund. And there is a barrier in between. So there is a wonderful history about these two lakes. It is not possible to describe it in detail. But suffice it to say that Krishna and the gopis would always have these funny quarrels with each other. One time when Krishna had killed this demon called Arishtasura, who had come in the form of a bull, then the gopis, they started criticizing Krishna. So you killed a bull, a cow. So that's very inauspicious. You must purify yourself by some activities of, atonement. So Krishna said, but he was a demon. Never mind, but he was still a cow. So then Krishna brought all the holy places, all the holy rivers, and then they formed the Radha Kund, and the Shyama Kund, I beg your pardon, Krishna's lake. So now Krishna began taunting the gopis. He said, okay, now I have done the needful, but you people sided with the demon. So you have committed some sinful activity, therefore you must now purify yourselves by atonement. So you can take your bath in my lake. So they said, no, thank you. We are capable of making our own lake. So they started digging and they formed a long line all the way to Manasi Ganga, Govind Kund, to get pots of water. Finally, all the holy rivers who had formed Radha Kund appeared in personified form in front of Radharani and said, please have mercy on us and accept our service. So Radharani was very compassionate. She said, what service do you want to offer me? Please accept our waters. Then Radharani agreed, and those waters then flowed in and became the Radha Kund. Each of these topics is very big. It can take a couple of lectures for each of these points, to speak on Radha Kund, to speak on Govardhan. We're just summarizing everything very, very briefly. So Radha Kund is considered for the devotees of Vrindavan the most holy place in the entire creation. Even though Brajabhumi Vrindavan is considered our holy place, but even within Brajabhumi, Radha Kund is supposed to be the most exalted place. Then there is, you can see Govardhan below as well, and the cows in the foreground. Now Govardhan has reduced in size very, very significantly since that time. Then all glories to the great forest known as Mahavan, where Krishna and Balaram displayed all of their childhood pastimes. Mahavan is also a place called, who knows? What do you find in Mahavan?
Where Dhru performed his terrace.
Sorry?
Where Dhru Maharaj performed his terrace.
That is Madhuvan. What is Mahavan? Gokul. That's right. Mahavan is another name for Gokul. So as you know, Krishna performed his childhood pastimes in Gokul, in Mahavan. He enjoyed a Vatsalya Ras, and as he grew up a little bit, started playing with his friends as well and doing some mischievous pranks as we were discussing yesterday, like stealing butter and so on. So that was in Gokul Mahavan. Even today you can go to Gokul and you will see the place where Nanda Baba resided, the Nanda Bhavan. You will see the place where Krishna was tied to the grinding mortar by Mother Yashoda, where the Damodar Leela took place. And you will see many, many such pastime sites of Krishna in Mahavan, Gokul. Okay, next one. Yes. Keshi Ghat Vanshi Vata Dvadasha Kanan Jaha Sava Leela Kailo Sri Nandanandan. All glories to Keshi Ghat, where Krishna killed the Keshi demon. All glories to the Vanshi Vata tree, where Krishna attracted all the gopis to come by playing his flute. Glories to all of the 12 forests of Raja. All these places, at these places, the son of Nanda, Sri Krishna, performed all of his pastimes. Keshi Ghat, what happened at Keshi Ghat?
Keshi demon was killed.
Krishna killed the Keshi demon. As you know, Kamsa used to keep sending demons into Vrindavan. And Krishna would kill them very easily as an appetizer every day. Couple of demons every day, and then he would be hungry for lunch. The acharyas explained that every day before lunch it was standard practice. Of course, the names of the demons we hear of are just a few of the demons. There were many, many more. So finally, Keshi was one of the last few to be sent. He came in the form of a horse, created a terrifying atmosphere. The residents of Vrindavan became terrified, very afraid. Krishna approached him fearlessly, caught him by the hind legs, swung him and threw him at a distance. He was knocked unconscious, but he got up and furious rage, he rushed Krishna. And as he approached Krishna, Krishna just held out his left hand and put his fist, his left fist into Keshi's throat, right through his mouth, and choked him to death. Keshi was struggling to do anything, but because the hand was right into his throat, he couldn't do anything. And then all the demigods showered flowers. So that place is Keshi Ghat. It's a very important place in Vrindavan. It's on the bank of the Yamuna. And then Vanshi Vata tree. Vanshi Vata, Vata Vriksha means a banyan tree or an Ashwatha tree. Vanshi means the flute. So this is the place where, especially in the autumn season, Krishna would stand and play his flute. As you know, one of Krishna's very special qualities is that he plays the flute. And in such a charming way that everybody is attracted. Everybody forgets everything else when Krishna plays the flute. So the rest of the gopis of Vrindavan would also, the one time when Krishna was playing the flute, they got so attracted by the sound of the flute and knowing that Krishna was there, that they all rushed from their homes to be with Krishna. Some gopis were feeding their children, some were engaged in other activities in the home, but they immediately left everything and rushed. It was late night, they reached Vanshi Vat, and Krishna preached some philosophy to them and asked them to go back, but they refused. They said, "We have come here to take shelter of you. We are your surrendered devotees." So they refused to go back. By Krishna's arrangement, the family members also did not take it very seriously later. It's a big topic. So there was a Rasa Leela that took place after that. So all the gopis, because they surrendered completely to Krishna, they came here where Krishna was playing his flute. So this tree is a very celebrated tree. A very famous tree of Vrindavan, Vanshi Vat. In the autumn season, which is especially beautiful, the main ornament is the playing of Krishna's flute. Dvadasha Kanana. Kanana means forest, Dvadasha means 12. The whole land of Rajabhumi is full of forests. And nowadays, of course, you hardly see many forests. But in those days, there were many, many forests. It is said the great devotees have identified more than 132 forests, or 148 forests in Braj. But among them, the 12 are considered most important. Therefore, they are called a Dvadasha Kanana. These are the forests in which Krishna would perform his pastimes 5,000 years ago. Can you name some of the forests, the 12 forests? Who remembers the names? The 12 chief forests of Vrindavan.
Madhuvan.
I've already named one. Nidhivan. Nidhivan is not one of the 12 forests. It's part.
Bandirvan.
I've already mentioned. Madhuvan. Then? Kamyavan.
Bandirvan.
Mahadirvan.
Talavan.
Talavan.
Kadiravan.
Bandiravan is mentioned.
Khadiravan.
Khadiravan, okay. Bahulavan.
Kokilavan.
Actually, it's not one of the 12, but okay. Okay, so that's your homework. Nowadays, everything is available on Google. G for Google, G for God. So you can Google and remember the 12 and leave something for homework. Also find out which are the forests on the western side of the Yamuna, which are the forests on the eastern side of the Yamuna. 7 forests are on one side, 5 forests are on the other side. So these are the 12 main forests where Krishna performed many of his pastimes. At these places, the son of Nanda, Sri Krishna performed all of his pastimes. Next one. Sri Nanda Yashoda Jaya Jaya Gopagan Sri Damadi Jaya Jaya Dhenu Vatsagan. All glories to Krishna's divine father and mother Nanda and Yashoda. All glories to the cowherd boys headed by Sri Dama, the older brother of Srimati Radha Rani and Ananda Manjari. All glories to the cows and calves of Raja. Yes, so Krishna is God, so does God have a father and a mother? How do you define God? God is the source of everything. Now, our parents are our source. We did not create our parents. Our parents created us. So we have parents because we are not the source of everything. We were created by somebody. So that's for us because we are ordinary living entities. But if we define God as the source of everything, where is the question of having father and mother for God? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Pita Hamasya Jagato Mata Dhata Pita Mahaha. He says, I am the mother, the father, the grandfather, grandmother, uncle, aunt, everything of everyone. So Krishna is everything. So then how come he has a divine father and a divine mother? Because he enacts pastimes as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. He plays a role, and he likes to play that role, of a 15-year-old cowherd boy. Naturally, he can't play the role of an orphan. So he prefers to have parents. So he selects his very exalted pure devotees to play that role. And this has been going on eternally. So Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda play the role of Krishna's father and mother eternally. Ontologically, or in terms of philosophy or tattva, we can understand Krishna is the father and mother of everyone. But in terms of rasa or pastimes and mellows, the devotees act in different relationships with God or with Krishna. So they enact the vatsalya prema, vatsalya rasa. The love in the mode of parental affection. That is Nanda and Yashoda. And such is this love that God becomes subservient to the love of his devotees, which is really astonishing. Because generally, the conception of God, as I was mentioning yesterday, is one of awe and reverence. People would like to become subservient to God and to serve God. But in Vrindavan, we see the reverse taking place, that Krishna is serving his devotees. Of course, it's all on the platform of the highest love of Godhead. So here we see baby Krishna on the right side carrying sandals because Nanda Maharaj said, please bring my sandals, bring my footwear, Krishna. Just like a father may sometimes tell the boy, just bring me that book which is on that window there. So Nanda Maharaj told his son Krishna, please bring me my footwear and I'm about to leave. So Krishna tried to lift the wooden sandals, but he couldn't lift. So then he became embarrassed because others were watching. So it was kind of humiliating that he is not able to lift. So to reassure everybody that he's strong enough, that he started clapping his arms to show that no, actually he can do it. Finally he lifted the sandal. And then he put it on his head and brought it to his father. So we generally take the dust from Krishna's lotus feet, but Krishna likes to take the dust from his devotee's lotus feet. This is Vrindavan, where God likes to serve devotees. The roles are reversed. Of course, even when Mother Yashoda feeds Krishna, dresses Krishna, like any mother would for a child, there is also service. But ultimately she considers herself superior to Krishna in the sense that she thinks that Krishna is dependent on her. If she doesn't feed Krishna, Krishna will be harmed. Krishna will fall sick. In her intense vatsalya prema, she does not understand that Krishna is the one who maintains everything and everyone. But in order to facilitate the sweetness of that love, Krishna employs his yogamaya shakti to cover the minds or cover that knowledge. So they simply think of Krishna as their little child. And then there is the cowherd boys who think of Krishna as their friend. They don't think of Krishna as God. They climb on Krishna's shoulders, they pull his ears, they tease him, sometimes they threaten him. Now in other paths this could be considered blasphemous. How can you threaten God? Or how can you, tease him? How can you pull his ears? When they would play, and Mother Yashoda would come and say, Krishna and Balaram, come back home immediately. Are you streets like orphans? You don't have any home? You're just playing like this? Your lunchtime is past? Come home immediately and take your lunch. And Krishna would get very afraid. And Mother Yashoda would leave and all the boys would be quiet. They would not say anything in Mother Yashoda's presence. And when Mother Yashoda would leave, then they would tell Krishna as he was about to leave, if you leave now, we're not going to take you to play again. You better stay here. So that Krishna was in a real fix. What to do? On one hand, he was afraid of Mother Yashoda. On the other hand, he was afraid of his friends. The friends would threaten him. If you could go away at this time when the play is at its peak, you better watch it. We're not going to take you again. So that he would be afraid of them and stay back. So these are the pastimes that take place in Vrindavan. Unheard of that God would do such things and God would be subjected to such dealings by his devotees. Yeah, can we have the next one? Jaya Vrishabhanu, Jaya Kirti Das Sundari, Jaya Purnamasi, Jaya Apira Nagari. So, Vrishabhanu, just as Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda are Krishna's parents, similarly Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Devi are Srimati Radharani's parents. Same principle applies. This is also a big transcendental drama going on eternally. And the same personalities play the role. They have been for a long time. Purnamasi, the mother of Sandipani Muni, the grandmother of Madhu Mangala Nandimukhi and the beloved disciple of Devarshi Narada. Purnamasi is actually also Yogamaya. She is the wise lady of Vrindavan. Even though she plays the role of an older lady, of an older gopi, but actually she has a spiritual body. So she is not like an old lady of this material world. So she is very happily participating in the pastimes and facilitates the pastimes of Krishna. And she is the mother of Krishna's guru, Sandipani Muni. So anyway, there are many, many pastimes to talk about. So now it's time for Arati. And maybe we should leave something for next time, isn't it? If there are all the pastimes now, then there's nothing to look forward to. So hopefully you will meditate on these Vrindavan pastimes and think about Vrindavan, then you are in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is not just a geographical place, it is a state of consciousness. If you always remember Krishna and his pastimes in Vrindavan and his pastime places and the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan, then you are actually in Vrindavan. That is actually the purpose of this song. To take us, to transport us to Vrindavan. So if our consciousness is immersed in these topics, even though we are in Sydney, we will actually be in Vrindavan. Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Hare Krishna. Now we have the Arati. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.